Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University, the university where you learn everything going on in the world of pop culture and see what life lessons you can get from it for your own life. Educational, inspirational, what can make it better? Having the sexiest podcast host in North America, essentially ASMR whisper all this tea right into your ear. These celebrities are important. They're not just celebrities. They're you and me. And it's not just pop culture. It's our culture. If it's your first time here, thank you so much for coming. Take a seat in the classroom wherever you would like. Everyone is welcome here, even the bisexuals, including the bisexual people. Apparently, it is Bisexual Awareness Month. And I want all the bis to know, I have not always been so friendly to the bisexuals. Sometimes I get insecure if a guy I'm talking to says he's bisexual, because maybe he would just immediately leave me if a woman who was slightly tempting walked into his life. If he just naturally likes women a little bit more, maybe he leans more towards the lower numbers on the Kinsey scale, and I would just stand no chance. But I do love the bisexuals. And above all, I want to say about bisexuals, I'm aware of your existence. I'm aware. It tortures me sometimes, but I'm aware of your existence. So happy Bisexual Awareness Month. If it is not your first time here, thank you so much for coming back. Fall semester is going great here. Rush just happened. And no, I'm not talking about that gay Troye Sivan song. I'm talking about sororities. So you'll be getting your note on what sorority you got into very soon. And if you didn't get into one, oh, sorry. Maybe you should try a little harder next time. If you like Selena Gomez, that's why you didn't get into it. If you're a Selenator, that's why you didn't get into a sorority. And you're actually expelled. The homecoming game here at PCU is this weekend. And by homecoming game, I mean it's going to be a twink versus the twink's girl best friend, the FAG hag. Because that's who my audience is. So the gay guys are going to line up on one side. The girls who have gay best friends are going to line up on the other. And we're going to see who can finish their cigarette first. That's going to be the homecoming game here. I hope you're really excited. And if you are really in school, girl, I am so sorry. Go to sugardaddy.com or feetfinder.com and get the fuck out of there. You couldn't pay me enough to go back to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I am so sorry. Champaign is an armpit in the middle of Illinois, and not a sexy armpit on a masculine, sexy man. I'd be getting called slurs in my apartment building. The bars would only play songs before 2010. It was truly like a warped hole. So I hope you're surviving your college experience or your high school experience. It's Christian Girl Autumn. So make sure to get those Uggs and scarves and sweaters on. And don't leave your scarf at a guy's house this fall. And I'm talking about your metaphorical scarf, or else you'll have to write a 10-minute song about him from how traumatized you'll be. Since it's September, you know what other season it is? A season of remembrance of 9/11. No. I guess no one wants to talk about 9/11. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about a major conspiracy theory about Mariah Carey's life and 9/11 based on that historic meme of Mariah Carey saying, no, I guess no one wants to talk about 9/11. We're also going to get into a meme about Wendy Williams and why her health has took a major downfall plummet. And it's the craziest conspiracy theory about something she ate on live television that people think ruined her health forever. We need to get into Kim Kardashian's acting debut in American Horror Story and tell everyone if the critics say she is a dumpster fire or going to win a Golden Globe. Also in this episode, I'm going to say three nice things about Selena Gomez and try not to throw up. And I will be discussing Taylor Swift and her new boyfriend, Travis Kelce. Sorry, I thought of his last name first because it's a girl name and Taylor Swift is obviously gay. So it's like Taylor and Kelce. No, Travis Kelce, not Taylor and Carly. All right. Anyway, before we get into it, rate this podcast 5-star on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Leave a cute little review, screenshot yourself listening to it, and post it to your Instagram story and tag me. By the way, I saw your tags were going to my hidden request on Instagram. I don't know what the fuck is up with that. I don't know if because like I've just been skyrocketing on Instagram or something. So all of my amazing students posting me on their stories have been condemned to my hidden request. I literally emailed Instagram this weekend pissed as fuck, livid. Why are you putting important DMs into the bottom of the barrel trash? Do you guys know where your hidden DMs are on Instagram? You have to go to all request, tap on a little thing in the upper right corner, scroll all the way down to see every single request you ever got. And then at the bottom of that list, that's where the hidden request is. I don't know why that's happening. That pisses me the fuck off. That makes me livid. So I emailed them trying to find out how I can like reorganize that. But if you post me today, I will be checking my hidden replies all day. I'll respond to all of you. Say anything you want about the podcast. You don't even have to like repost it. But I just felt so bad seeing everyone posting me and then I didn't repost it. Anyway, we're getting into the podcast. Oh my God. Welcome to PCU Face Forward. Pay attention. Class is beginning, students.
Baby, you're literally capping to me right now. Like, why are you capping? You just cap so hard.
Kissing, I hope it cut us. Whether they like it or not. I want to show you out. I want to show you out. I want to brag about it. I want to tie the knot. I want to show you out. I want to show you out.
So this week I got the Ice Spice drink at Dunkin' Donuts. So Ice Spice and whatever insane cuckoo wackadoodle bitch at Dunkin' who decides it was a good idea to cut the brand name Dunkin' Donuts in half and now it's only called Dunkin'. Girl, what the fuck? Stop trying to be IHOB, International House of Burgers, that's actually International House of Pancakes. Like, not everyone can change their name and have it be a success. To me, that's weird that Dunkin' just, like, caught off its last name. Dunkin', you're not Beyonce. You're not Madonna. You're not Selena Quintanilla, who really just goes by one name, Selena. Dunkin', you're Selena Gomez. You need two names. So, first of all, I think that's weird. But I tried the Ice Spice Munchkins drink, which is basically just a bunch of munchkins smashed into a artificially flavored, like, chunky frappuccino. It's not even real coffee. It's artificial coffee flavoring with a bunch of different cream in it, like whipped cream and, I guess, other cream you put into a coffee. A bunch of caramel drizzle and ice. And let me just tell you, it did not make me cream. I get why it was a smart collab, though, because Ice Spice kind of sounds like iced coffee, and her fans are called munchkins, and when she has that afro, she kind of looks like a walking munchkin that I just want to take a bite out of. But it did not pay off. I think what they were trying to do was copy the famous Portillo's cake shake. If you've ever been to Chicago or like live there and you go to this restaurant called Portillo's, it's really famous. Chicago has great food. LA, unless you're trying to eat like a pasture-raised, grass-fed mule, like, you're not going to get good food. You're just going to get good salads and green drinks out here. Chicago has good, like, soul food. So at Portillo's, they would have a giant chocolate milkshake that you can then get upgraded to a cake milkshake that they basically just take a giant piece of cake and mash it up into your milkshake. And it's the most creamy, decadent, and, like, soft milkshake with pieces of cake going down your throat. I would shake my cake for anyone in their face for a cake shake. It's so good. If you ever go in and out of Chicago for ever any reason, you should definitely get it. But yeah, they were trying to do that and it fucking failed. You know who else tried to do something and maybe fucking failed? Kim Kardashian. She was just acting this week, making her acting debut in American Horror Story. I'm not American Horror Story. Oh my God. American Horror Story. That would be AWS. Well, I shouldn't say debut because she's been acting in bed with Kanye for years. I forgot I wrote that for the outline of this because I do keep an outline because I'm talking about so much in one episode. I thought of that while I was thinking of this and I'm so crazy for writing that down. I'm kidding. But she is in American Horror Story Delicate season 12. Her character is named Siobhan. Or Cinnabon or something. I was pronouncing it wrong. Siobhan? I'm not quite sure. It was really eloquently pronounced, though. Like, it's a really cool name. I just forgot in this moment. I watched the episode twice, too, to get a real firm opinion on what I think about it. But anyway, her character is a sexy PR firm owner. That's not the character description. Kim Kardashian is just sexy, so any character she plays is sexy. She's a sexy PR firm owner. She's a publicist. And she has an A-list celebrity client that she would lie, cheat, and steal and kill to make the biggest star in the world. Sound familiar? She's been doing character study on this with Kris Jenner for her whole life. Now that the show's out, we kind of know how much screen time she'll be getting because you know they use the biggest star to promote the show, even if they're in the background or get killed off in the first episode, like they did to Ariana Grande in Scream Queens. Here in LA, there's billboards of her on Sunset for American Horror Story, Fairfax, like every single street out here. Kim Kardashian in American Horror Story has painted the town red. And even though Kim was scabbing, she says, bitch, I said what I said. But she actually does have a pretty prominent role. She was probably on screen for 10 to 15 minutes of the episode. And for someone who's a supporting character, that's a lot. She's definitely in the top five most important characters in the show. We're getting a lot of her. Emma Roberts. She is the lead protagonist. She's doing an amazing job. I love her. She's playing a role similar to her life as well. An actress who really wants to be successful in her career, but also wants to get pregnant and have a baby. And if you don't remember, I believe Emma did IVF in real life as well. And she got pregnant 2 years ago and just had her first baby. In this show, she's becoming so famous and it's so stressful and overworked that she turns to IVF to have a child. But her IVF journey is now getting sabotaged. And she thinks the IVF doctors maybe put something inside of her that is not a human or maybe a demon or a spider. What's scarier than growing a spider in your room or growing Northwest in your room? Cara Delevingne is kind of playing a character similar to her real life as well. Cara Delevingne is playing this eerie doctor. She actually didn't have any lines in the first episode. She was just off to the side, crazily stalking and harassing Emma Roberts. And we know she's done that with Megan Thee Stallion. So definitely a character really similar to her as well. But I love all of them, truly. And I love American Horror Story. I think it's one of the most consistently quality, exciting, fresh, innovative shows in TV. Like every season, you get something so different, but equally as scary and along the same thread of time. And I could not be more impressed by this show. I think my favorite season of American Horror Story is 1984, which is like the 10th season. So that just goes to prove, even after a decade lifespan of this show, it's still having high points. It's still reaching new peaks. Have you seen 1984? Oh, so fucking good. It was like slasher themed, and the plot moves so quickly throughout the 9 episodes that you thought, oh my God, are they gonna like run out of things to do by the third episode? Because everyone was dying, everyone was revealing their secrets, slicing each other up, banging each other. No, it kept moving so fast, but it made so much sense. I think that was the best season written for American Horror Story ever. Glued to the TV. There was also that recent drama that came out with Emma Roberts and I believe her name was Angeline, or I'm not sure. She was a transgender actress on that show. She was a pretty lead character as well. And towards the end of the season, she had a lot of direct scenes with Emma Roberts, like just them two on the screen. And apparently Emma Roberts was transphobic to her while on set, doing insensitive things. At one point, Ryan Murphy called them both ladies, and Emma turned to this woman and said, "Don't you mean lady? As in only there's one lady here, and it's me and not you." That's fucking nuts. Crazy. Can't believe that. Like the gall and caucasity it takes to say something that fucking crazy. So in my heart of hearts, I hope she immediately realized what she said. Maybe she thought it was like a funny joke, or they were close enough to do so, or she didn't realize like what she was saying as she was saying it, because apparently Emma called her right after this news broke and apologized for what she said. And she remembered exactly that moment. She was like, the second I said it, I knew it was so misplaced and was not something I should have said. So I want to hope she's not that kind of person. But watching the season back, knowing that drama was happening, ooh, it was even better. So when Delicate premiered this weekend, me and my squirrel friends all had a watch party. And by squirrel friends, I mean me and my other gay friends who love nuts. That's why we're squirrel friends. We had a watch party, and when Kim came on the screen, we cheered like people who watch Avengers when Spider-Man comes on the screen, or like when someone gets a holding touchdown or a red flag in football, and like all your uncles are screaming at the TV, red-faced, cholesterol high as fuck with a beer in their hand. We were screaming like that when she came on the screen. And her first line in the show was iconic, amazing. Like, you just know this character was going to be a whirlwind. Her first line was, Then tell the Daniels to lick my clit. She's not missing a press day for a fucking commercial shoot. Ugh, it's exhausting being better than everyone.
Tell the Daniels to suck my clit. She's not missing a press day for a fucking commercial shoot.
It's exhausting being better than everyone.
Ugh! I love her so much. Even the character she plays, she knows exactly what the gays want. Ryan Murphy gave us exactly what we want. And I'm literally her fan club. Because a lot of people want to tear her down and say that she can't act, but they can choke on their words. Because the reviews are so good. So they can read them and weep, bitch. USA Today said that she was basically the best one in the show. They said, the few times the premiere episode had a pulse was when Kim Kardashian was on screen. Ooh! They continued and said, yes, Kim Kardashian's acting skills may be more people's choice than Emmy-worthy, but like American Horror Story alums Jessica Lange and Lady Gaga before her, she's the only one so far to deliver on the season's high camp potential. And for that, we thank you, Kim. You're doing amazing, sweetie. Exactly. She was really delivering the camp with her biting lines and not taking her role too seriously while actually having great timing, great face, great emotions, great breath to her lines. The Daily Beast said Kim's portrayal of the publicist Siobhan is far and away the best part of American Horror Story Delicate. Deadline said that Kim's performance was perfect and said that she is, quote, perfect for the role. Wow. Daily Beast also went on and said, hell, she seems more natural in American Horror Story Delicate than she does in a good chunk of the Kardashians. Okay, now don't be fucking rude. I swear to God, I'll punch you in your face. I'll hit you with my purse. If you come for Kim Kardashian's acting, I'll rip up your life, ho, get the knife. Cause she low-key my wife, she my bitch for life. Kim's a 10, you're a 2, life sucks for you. It's going down when we come up, it's up for her. Let's punch her in her face and take her jewels. It's May, we don't play with them April fools, I'm super excited for the rest of the season because characters in American Horror Story always have crazy arcs. They always end up dying, becoming ghosts, or possessing someone, getting possessed. Maybe she can do character study on Kanye for that. But basically, they always end up revealing themselves as a villain or just having some crazy switch up at the end of the season. So more will be required of Kim for her acting as she goes on. And I cannot wait. I think she will be the villain for sure. She seems a little bit too close to Emma Roberts' character. And Kim's character said that she had a failed IVF journey. So maybe that's why she's sabotaging Emma Roberts' IVF journey. But you should definitely watch and tell me what you think. And Kim, as I said last episode, she really wants her Golden Globe moment. She wants to be Marilyn, because Marilyn got a Golden Globe, admittedly, right before she died. So maybe that's not a good thing. Kim isn't involved with any presidential shit, though. So thank God for that. The Kennedys won't come and kill her. Thank God Kanye lost the election. She does not need to be involved with any presidential shit. But that's another conspiracy theory for another episode. Kim was also acting in another commercial this week. Yeah, she was in a commercial. She was in a commercial for the Super Bowl performer announcement. And lo and behold, it is not Miley Cyrus. It is not JoJo Siwa. It is not Cupcake the Rapper. It is Usher. Usher. So Usher is going to do the Super Bowl this year. I mean, good for Usher. I didn't move when I heard that. I actually was a little bit disappointed. I guess I'll watch it just to see, like, someone who hasn't really been in the spotlight, like, try to perform like that again after a decade. I know he has the residency in Vegas, but he needs to be, like, high-level performing for this. So I guess it'll be interesting to see if he still has it. I do like Usher. I like when he says, Ursha, baby. I don't know why I like when he says that. Ursha, baby. Okay, fine. I like him. He's like a bit older at this point, obviously. I mean, because, you know, he was really taking over the world in the 2000s, 2010s. All his songs to me, though, are trapped in the 2010s. Like, they are not timeless. I don't mean to be an asshole when I say that. But when you hear, oh my God, I'll say it again because I'm going to let the beat rock. Come on. Are you really going to on-demand stream that in 2023? No, I'd say his songs more earlier in the 2000s are more timeless. So, you know, we will be supporting him. I'll be saying Ursha, baby. I wish it was Miley Cyrus, though. That's who I really, like, wanted it to be. Apparently, she just didn't feel like it. That's, like, literally what the reports were saying. She was offered and she just doesn't feel like it. That's because she's trapped in a cult and her cult won't let her do it. As I said in a few episodes ago, she's trapped in a cult. Explain why. But yeah, I don't know why Kim was in this commercial. They just needed clout somehow. And they know Usher's clout expired in like 2015. So they're like, hey, Kim, can you be in this commercial? We'll pay you $17 million. And she was like, fine. She really likes Usher. She's a big Usher fan. So hopefully Usher will succeed just like Kim Kardashian succeeded in her acting. But anyway, what can we learn from Kim succeeding so much in her acting? Kim only got this recognition and this award buzz for this job because she was willing to fail and do something that scared her. Remember when she was on SNL? She was so terrified to do it. She didn't even want to do it at one point anymore. She said, this is the craziest thing I ever accepted the offer for. And she just didn't think she was funny or could hit her lines like that. But she succeeded so much that Ryan Murphy actually saw her on SNL. And that's when he thought it'd be a good idea to offer her the role in American Horror Story. Isn't that crazy? So she did something that scared her, that helped her grow and get another job. And now she's doing another thing that is going to scare her so she can maybe do even more acting or win some sort of award that she never has before. It seems like the more things she does that really scares her, the more she grows. So I think the more things you try that scare you and you've always wanted to do, but maybe you're scared to do, the more you will exponentially grow. I feel like that's really how you unlock not just growth, but exponential growth. Doing something so outside your comfort zone that you really have never imagined yourself doing it. And it takes you to this whole new realm of possibilities that you can see for yourself because you conquered that fear and did it so much better than you ever thought you could. You're like, wow, I'm a whole new person. I have new horizons for myself. And this has opened up so many pathways. So if you have a dream that you think you'll suck at or people say you aren't good enough for, or it just scares you for some reason, just do it. Who cares? Make sure you do something that scares you frequently. And if you're the only one who understands that dream that you want that scares you, all the better. Who cares if no one else understands? Because if you never seek it, you'll never see it. If you never think it, you'll never be it. That's what Beyonce said. I'm doing something that scares me tomorrow, and that's I'm taking like lessons how to edit long form videos and hopefully like a really good way. I've never done that before because I want to film the podcast, but the podcast is definitely a sizable amount of effort. It's a labor of love. Like, I'm obsessed with doing it, but the thought of filming it every week too just could make my brain explode just because I have a platform and every other social media that I have to keep up with as well. And my biggest fear is always not putting out something that's quality for you guys. And for some reason, I've always thought of editing as like calculus. I feel like I wouldn't be able to get it because you open Adobe Premiere Pro and there's 17 billion different options. Like, you're in some sort of airplane cockpit and there's a billion different buttons that you can hit that can just go wrong. You don't know what they do. But I'm facing that mental block and fear of not even wanting to give myself the stress or make my head hurt like I'm in math class again trying to learn how to do it. So I'm doing that tomorrow and I'll definitely let you know how it goes. No. I guess no one wants to talk about 9/11, huh? Yeah, that was the Mariah Carey quote. Maybe one of the most crazy videos of all time. That is something that she randomly said on stage at the Citizens Festival in 2018, and it has forever been a meme. No. I guess no one wants to talk about 9/11.
No. Well, you don't want to hear about 9/11.
Thank you. We're going to talk a little bit about this moment.
No. Well, you don't want to hear about 9/11.
People have reposted that and just laugh at it all the time. I've seen it on my TikTok For You page a billion times. And as 9/11 happened like last week, I've definitely just been seeing it more. People thought it was funny to post about that as the anniversary rolls around, because it's literally just so shocking. Like, Mariah, what the fuck are you saying? Are you having a breakdown? Are you like, is some stroke happening? Are you about to pass out like Wendy Williams? That was truly the eighth wonder of the world. Why did she just randomly start talking about 9/11 on the stage right there? People seem to know the answer why. It's because Mariah Carey actually has a really interesting past with 9/11 and what happened to her that day. So while she was on stage doing this headlining set for the Global Citizens Festival, whoever was working the teleprompter apparently put something about 9/11 on the prompter for her to say, but she didn't know about it. So as the prompter was like rolling and she just had to keep on reading and talking, she saw the 9/11 sentence before she was supposed to say it. So all of a sudden, when she was just totally talking normal, whatever story they were going with, she just all of a sudden says, oh, no. I guess no one wants to talk about 9/11. It's because she was kind of telling the people in the control room, no, we don't want to talk about 9/11. That makes a lot of sense and comforts me. But at least we have the meme. That's one more thing about 9/11 that we'll never forget. 9/11 was a terrible, horrible thing. Everyone can agree with that. Undeniably, zero good came from that. And it should have never, ever happened. Every year in the anniversary, even though I was 1 year old during that, I literally just turned one. My mom would tell me during 9/11, I was at my one-year-old checkup. Like, I was at the doctor's office while that was happening. And while my mom was there, she was like, is my doctor's appointment canceled? We're in Illinois. Like, should we go home? But I ended up having the appointment that day. And they told my mother on my one-year appointment that her son will grow up to be the sexiest podcast host in North America. Oh my God, speaking of babies and 9/11, do you remember that scene in Family Guy where someone asks Stewie what his favorite holiday is and he says 9/11? That show is wackadoodle. There's really no boundaries with them. I wonder how many times they've gotten sued. Their lawyers there must be foolproof, must be the best, most intense mob-like lawyers in a fucking America. Anyway, some people say maybe, you know, 9/11 united Americans more, made people more patriotic. It helped start putting the end to terrorism and really taking steps towards that. I guess these can be seen as slight good things that came from it, a very dim silver lining, but no gain could ever be good enough for the price to pay for those loss. Eternal respect to the first responders who died. I'm not sure if you remember, Pete Davidson's dad was actually a firefighter who died in 9/11, and Ariana Grande got his badge number tattooed on her foot while they were engaged. Obviously, that did not last, but yeah. A lot of people were, everyone was affected by this, respect to the families, and, you know, even children died that day. It was horrible. But 9/11 had a really interesting experience for Mariah Carey. It actually may have saved Mariah Carey's life, which was talked about in her memoir. I follow the Celebrity Memoir Book Club on TikTok. They're great. They read like everyone's memoirs, who are celebrities, obviously, and just tell us all the tea from it. And they made a video one day about how 9/11 saved Mariah Carey's life. So I did a bunch of digging and it's really crazy. I've been watching so many 9/11 documentaries. I don't know why. Even though the anniversary was 2 weeks ago, I cannot stop watching them. Like, they're like my shows now. Like, 9/11 documentaries are just my fucking shows. Something about a single event that took place really only in like 2 hours that completely changed the course of American history and impacted every single alive person at the same time really just interests me. And seeing the videos and all the perspectives and just every different story or angle of it told has just been so capturing me this week. I remember going to middle school and it would be weird. Like, I would get excited to watch them when 9/11 came around. I was like, oh, I hope we talk about it and like watch more documentaries about it. It's just so shocking and almost like unbelievable that you just can't look away. It's so interesting in the most awful, twisted way. It should have never happened, but I've just been watching so many. Do you guys like 9/11 documentaries? Do you watch them even more than just on that day? Are they sad for you? Are they interesting for you? Please let me know. Or am I just an insane person? Because some people like horror movies because they like violence, but that's like fictional violence. Like, am I weird for that? I don't know. But anyway, it was mostly bad for everyone, but was it good for Mariah Carey? Mariah Carey was actually on course to have her life ruined right around 9/11 because she was about to be put into a conservatorship by her evil family on 9/11, but 9/11 stopped their plans. She would have suffered the same fate as Britney Spears, being, you know, given drugs she didn't need, have no human rights for 13 years, no custody of her kids, post her naked body on Instagram with just a pink heart emoji covering her clit. All respect to Britney, but seriously, someone needs to intervene with her post sometimes. Not to make her stop, just to like fix her hair or her makeup. Or be like, hey, let me take a better angle for you. Someone just needs to intervene sometimes. Do you know when like princes or princesses of kingdoms would misbehave back in the day? Or of like the first family of America? Didn't that happen to someone in the first family back in the day? Like way back in the day, like 1800s, like some princess of somewhere was not acting right, so they like gave her a lobotomy to keep her in line. I feel like Britney Spears was just given so many drugs, it was like the modern day version of that, and Mariah Carey almost suffered that fate. Do you know where Mariah Carey spent 9/11? In a mental rehabilitation facility. Yeah, a rehab facility. That's where she was at 9/11. And she was on drugs that she didn't need. She was literally watching the Twin Tower fall while on these drugs. And this is a quote from her book. The effect of the drugs I'd been kept on were no match for the shock I was experiencing. I was stone cold alert as I watched my majestic skyline disintegrate. My home city was burning and collapsing, and I was thousands of miles away, locked inside a dismal detox, drugged, devastated, and alone. Can you believe that? Oh my God. I never knew. That's where Mariah Carey spent 9/11. So her mother and her brother were trying to institutionalize her for a long time because they were after her money. And 2001 was the year that they were putting that plan into action. Leading up to the 9/11 events, she was having the worst summer of her life. She was starting to experience the effects of her undiagnosed bipolar disorder. She started taking the medications to help her with that that year. So she was really starting to experience the effects that year. She reached such a height of success that she developed an anxiety disorder from all the pressure to not only keep on being great, but keep on being number one. Because she was Mariah fucking Carey, the number one show-stopping diva in this fucking game. And she needed to live up to that. She was getting a divorce from a head music label executive, Tommy Mottola, that was hell-bent on taking her career down and letting Jennifer Lopez shine instead. That's a whole other drama for another episode, but all I'm going to say, Mariah Carey doesn't like J-Lo for a good reason. That's all I'm going to say on that. It's a good reason. And she signed to a new record label to a deal that was worth over $100 million. So the success of her next album was crucial, imperative. And they put her on such a short deadline that she was basically working 22 hours a day while going through psychological distress, emotional distress, family distress, love life distress, everything, while also not having a second to deal with it. And that started to completely crush her. And her family saw this opportunity. They were like, okay, we're going to film her. We're going to make her look real bad. She would get 2 hours of sleep every night. She was worked to the ground by her label, manager, and family, who would never make sure she was okay. They would just make sure she got up and went to work. They said, get off your ass and work. They saw her as a cash cow, as a puppet, as a sheep, as a cash cow. She was releasing an album at this time. She was starring in a movie at this time, touring, huge promo for this upcoming album and movie that wasn't even done yet. She was meeting impossible deadlines, even to one point where she went to the hospital for extreme exhaustion. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? But was all this on purpose? Probably. Because her family didn't like her. Her family would abuse her from the time she was a little girl. Her mom abused her. Her siblings were always trying to bring her down. They sold stories about her to the press. Mariah Carey said, throughout the years, both my brother and sister have put me on the chopping block, sold lies to any gossip rag or trashy website that would buy or listen. They have attacked me for decades. But when I was 12 years old, my sister drugged me with Valium, offered me a pinky nail full of cocaine, inflicted me with third-degree burns, and tried to sell me out to a pimp. And if, you know, the growing up with all that shit wasn't enough, around this time, she was starting to feel the symptoms of her bipolar diagnosis, and she was really scared that someone was going to notice her behavior and sell her out to a gossip blog or something. So she said she would isolate herself all the time because she knew her brother or really anyone would sell this out in a minute if they saw the way she was acting. This is how she described her mindset. She was experiencing this. She said, for a long time, I thought I had a severe sleep disorder. I was working and working and working. I was irritable and in constant fear of letting people down. It turns out that I was experiencing a form of mania. Eventually, I would just hit a wall. I'd feel so lonely and sad, even guilty that I wasn't doing what I needed to be doing for my career. If she wasn't working, she would completely isolate herself from everyone. But the problem is, her family trying to sabotage her, they would book her for massive promo gigs really early in the morning at like 6 a.m. when they knew she had to be in the studio until 3 a.m. the night before. At one point, Mariah posted in her blog, I guess celebrities used to have blogs back in the day. That's so funny because now their Instagram captions are their blogs. She said, I'm honestly really, really delirious and stressed out and overworked and doing too much. I haven't slept in like 2 weeks, and that's an important detail for everyone to know. So students, as we know about conservatorships, you have to prove to a judge that someone needs to be in a conservatorship. How can you do that? You can show them proof that they were mentally unwell or incapable of taking care of themselves or acting erratically, all of the above. So this is actually a pretty evil, good plan by her family. They would basically get her so tired and then put her on these shows, and then she would be acting really manic or strange in interviews or begging and pleading how she's exhausted.
With little to no sleep. She eventually became unhinged, and in each interview, she was manic, hyper, talkative, and openly expressed how tired she was.
You're looking great. Are you feeling great?
I feel all right.
Oh, good.
I've been up for like 20-something hours. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Now, you have been up for 20-something hours because you were telling me that you've just finished wrapping a film as of this morning. Is that correct?
Yes. 3 a.m. And then I got home. I guess I got in bed about 6 a.m. And I'm fine, but the rest of the people with me are like ready to collapse. They're seeing double of everything.
I just think I'm a human being that's trying to live like everybody else. I don't know what I am other than a person that needs one day. Like, this is my kind of like my day off.
What?
I'm doing very well. We're all just living in the moment of being positive, and there's like people called haters. No, Cindy,
let's go.
One more thing. And we give them positivity.
Let's go.
You see, I can't even get a minute. Bye.
Come on. Hang on.
You know, why would a judge think someone who's acting like that on TV or went to the hospital for passing out from exhaustion is capable of taking care of themselves? Then she went on TRL, and this was maybe one of the most infamous moments of her career, where the whole celebrity gossip log thought she was having a mental breakdown. Even CBS News was like, Mariah Carey's having her breakdown. They thought this was her Britney moment. Well, I guess the Britney moment didn't happen yet, but this was just her turn as a, you know, female pop star to be completely scrutinized for her mental health in front of everyone. This was on July 19th, 2001. She went on TRL to promote this new project, and apparently she was acting a little bit too crazy for Carson Daly, who I've never liked, even when I saw him on The Voice. Never really liked him. She was like taking off her shirt and running around the stage, being weird with the fans in the crowd, and this is what they were doing.
Mariah Carey's okay. Lost her mind. I don't know exactly what's going on here. I was doing a commercial break video, and
it's
I hear her singing. You brought ice cream.
What are you doing?
Mariah Carey is stripping on TRL right now. Is it my birthday that I didn't know about it? Wow.
You like this.
Holy mackerel.
You like this.
Hey, can we get the AC cranked down? The AC, crank it down, get nice and cool. Wow.
Do you like this?
What are you doing? What did you bring?
You're my therapy session right now, Carson.
Okay,
you see, every now and then, somebody needs a little therapy.
Yes, I understand that.
And today is that moment for me.
What's wrong? Well, you weren't.
Everything's
fine. Aren't you busy? You just came by TRL
Hello?
To hang out? I did not know about this.
We're just here.
By the way, she had a tank top on underneath that shirt she took off. She wasn't stripping as if she was in Girls Gone Wild or Playboy or something. I'm less dressed than she was in that moment when I go to the gym. Like, she did not seem crazy at all. Unfortunately, after that, though, she reached a breaking point from being worked into the ground and being treated like some sort of mule by her family, always yelling at her to get back to work. Mariah Carey snapped and started breaking plates and glasses in one of their temporary living spaces that I'm sure they were at with her family. And her mother called the police on her. And she was taken to Silver Hill Mental Hospital. Isn't that so insane? That's how it went with Britney Spears. It was public ridicule, then accusations of a mental health problem, then getting barely violent at all. She gets called the police on, goes to the hospital, is then put into the conservatorship. So they were going along with this plan to a T. August 25th, you know, very close to September 11th at this point, she released a video to her fans thanking them and basically saying, I don't know what's going on. I can't trust anyone in this mental hospital.
And I know that the people who care about me will care about me, but I just can't trust anybody anymore right now because I don't understand what's going on. So, because I'm not watching TV, I'm just literally trying to get out of this room. And I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody, but the truth is, I am calling to say that I love you to my fans. I hope this message gets to you.
She was thankfully eventually released from Silver Hill Mental Hospital. And then Mariah Carey's brother Morgan recommended that after she got out of there, she go to relax at a spa and get herself back on her feet. So she agreed to go where he told her to. But little did she know that she was being taken to a hardcore detox and rehab center near UCLA. And she recalled being given giant horse pills the color of Pepto-Bismol that made her mind so much more hazy and making her feel sluggish, puffy, and compliant. She said, quote, I was in a fog much of that time. Isn't that so fucking evil? These families of these celebrities always trying to take them down as if they're not their loved one or their own bloodline that they would like to do well. Terrifying, despicable, disgusting. And you can bet her family, while she was at those facilities, was working real hard in that conservatorship, probably one that was even worse than Britney's, trying to lock her down forever. But then the day of 9/11, when the whole world stopped, no other piece of media mattered at all. Everyone was glued to their TV. All rules were off. People didn't even know if America was under siege or if there was some anarchy going on. She was able to leave the rehab facility. They just let her go. And her family's narrative that they were trying to write of her in the media, and just the media's narrative that they were trying to write of her of having this breakdown, no longer mattered. No one cared. No one talked about it. Because the only thing people would talk about for weeks and months was 9/11. The whole thing was kaput. It did not matter anymore. The degradation of Mimi stopped. And it was on to the emancipation of Mimi. Her time in the mental facilities actually helped her because she got the medication that she needed. So she was acting much more calm. The album and movie that she was working out actually came out on 9/11. So that stress was taken off of her after that day as well. Unfortunately, the movie Glitter that she made, that she was working on so hard, flopped very bad because, of course, no one wanted to go watch a movie about sexy, whistle-toning Mariah Carey when there were people that were dying. So the album sold very bad. The Oscars even made fun of it that year which is very confusing to me because you think they would take into account why the album flopped, but they made a skit not calling it glitter, but calling it gutter. Can you believe that? Fucked up. But either way, that stresses off of her, and she was able to really get control of her life again because she got that window of time to take back her life. So in her book, she was kind of referencing the only way she was able to get out of this horrible situation that people were building for her was because of 9/11. And then years later, Justice for Glitter happened. It was like a hashtag on Twitter where all of her fans, her lamely, got the album to number one because they realized what happened back then. They were like, wait, we actually love this album. It's so good. It's timeless. Let's get it to number one to help her. Isn't that so? That's such a crazy story. Like, no one could have ever expected that event to intercept those events that were unfolding for her. And she probably didn't even realize it in a moment that that's maybe why she didn't end up like Britney Spears. Like, imagine seeing Mariah Carey act like Britney Spears does on Instagram. Or imagine just knowing Mariah Carey didn't have her basic human rights. Like, would All I Want for Christmas even be a thing anymore? Would she even be able to do those performances and be the queen of Christmas? She's about to defrost soon. She's defrosting because it's almost December. Ugh, but I love Mariah Carey. I love her so much. And I'm so happy she was never put in that conservatorship because she truly did not need one. And her family is so nasty and evil. Probably even worse than disgusting Jamie Lynn Spears. Mariah Carey is also like the funniest celebrity, in my opinion. She has the best sense of humor of anyone. And the way she'll throw shade at people in interviews, like, oh, I don't know her. And the way she commits to these jokes for so long, like her sense of humor is like she plays the long game with her jokes. She doesn't have a short sense of humor. She commits to the bit for decades. Like how she doesn't acknowledge time. On every birthday cake, she'll just have a 12, like on like the number 12 on it. She's so funny. I'm obsessed with her. And even though she can't really find the key anymore, she's still our songbird. So no. She actually doesn't want to talk about 9/11 because it was a terrible time for her. But her next album being called The Emancipation of Mimi just hits so much harder now. Such a legend. But isn't that the craziest conspiracy theory ever? Ugh, crazy. So I went to the gay club this weekend, not because I'm gay, bro. That's gross. Don't do it around my children. But I went to the gay club this weekend, and guess what the theme was? Gay clubs are so fucking hilarious because they'll have the most out-of-pocket, unhinged, deranged theme that someone came up with on Molly, but it always turns out to be the best night of your fucking life. The theme was SpongeBob. And when I tell you, the drag queens fucking delivered. Drag queens need to host every event in America. Maybe not the NRA convention where they're not welcome in Florida, but they need to host a Thanksgiving Day parade. They need to host the Met Gala. Drag queens are fucking hilarious. They put on the best show in the whole fucking world. I wasn't even drunk because, you know, I'm trying to die. I'm trying to lose weight. Alcohol be really taking me there and getting me loose, and I have the best time, but I cannot be drunk 6 days of the week. I'm not ready for my blackout era yet. I just got to LA, but I'll be fully ready to shave my head in a very public place in maybe a year or so. So I was just trying not to drink, but I felt like I was drunk in this gay club because all of them were dressed up as a character. And yes, someone dressed up as Patrick Starr with the slutty boots on, doing the splits, jumping off of the highest platform into the splits. There was someone dressed as Sandy Cheeks, Squidward, Batman and, or wait, what's it called? Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. I'm just realizing now Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy is an obvious play and riff off of Batman and Robin. Wait, that's so funny that they just obviously did that. I'm so dead. Does anyone remember the Cartoon Network show Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends? So it was like this weird, deranged, lucid dream show on Cartoon Network. All of the Cartoon Network shows were creepy, weird as hell. And sometimes animations would really scare me. Like Courage the Cowardly Dog, I can't watch that shit. That shit is so fucking terrifying to me. I can't watch it. Courage will make me go to a panic room and call the police on myself because that show is so scary. But Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, I never realized the imaginary friends were in the foster home because the kids forgot about their imaginary friends because they grew up. That's so sad. I almost cried the other day, like thinking about that. That's why that show was named that. It's so sad. But yeah, it was so like the drag queens at this bar, they were doing AI covers. So they made like Squidward sing that like Evanescence song that's like, "Wake me up inside." I'm trying to do a Squidward impression. "Wake me up inside. Can't wake up inside." Why do I just sound like Caitlyn Jenner? They played Squidward's Nose by Cupcake. "His dick smaller than my toes. Yeah, yeah, smaller than my toes. His dick smaller than my toes. I'd rather ride Squidward's nose." Ethan Slater did not come out to perform his SpongeBob character, but that really would have been the icing on the cake. But damn, it was just such a fun night. And I get why there's so many SpongeBob stands. I Spice loves SpongeBob. Ariana Grande clearly loves SpongeBob. It was a great fucking night. And they played the Jellyfish Rave song that's like dun, 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 dun. I don't even know, but such an amazing night. But anyway, we were just talking about 9/11. So speaking of 9/11 and buildings falling in New York, Wendy Williams, she iconically fell down as the Statue of Liberty. Wendy Williams is the iconic capital P shaped lady, and she capitalized on a lot of people's downfalls. But now she has been downfalling. So we're going to get into another crazy conspiracy theory. Okay, this is very relevant and current as well. As you know, she's a legend, icon, and she was the moment. I mean, come on now. She had one of the most popular gossip talk shows ever, and there will never be another Wendy. There will never be another one after her, because the skill level is still just a half of her. It's true. I can't be Wendy even if I wanted to. She was just so alone in her mental illness that no one can be her. No one can fill her shoes. I can't fill her shoes simply because they were too big. But she had her show for 14 seasons, and all it was just her lighting up her cigarette and talking shit for a long ass time in front of that crowd. And people were glued to the TV. Hundreds of thousands of people would tune in just to kiki with her. "How you doing?" And I feel like she's having a big resurgence with Gen Z on TikTok, just all these clips coming up of her. And it sucks because I think she would maybe be re-peaking right now. Like her show would be the most popular show on air because of how much Gen Z loves her. But it's unfortunate that her health has taken her off of the air. So if you don't know, she has Graves' disease, which is a chronic immune symptom disorder of the thyroid. So it causes a lot of different symptoms. It can cause swelling in your whole body. It can give you this thing that makes your eyes like bulge out of your head. It can affect like your memory and some of your mental functions and your weight. Like there's just an endless list of things. I think it can affect like, I don't know if it's called elephantitis, but it gives you like swollen ankles and things like that. I don't know if people just bully people and call it elephantitis, but if that's not a real disease, people are so fucked up for saying that. But yeah, and apparently, allegedly, but it seems like the truth, but allegedly, she has stumbled back into addiction with alcohol again. So that perfect storm all combined has made her lose her show. Last year, after 14 seasons, it came to an end, and she really left a void in pop culture. I guess it could be worse. No, this is the worst. These are Wendy quotes, if you don't know. But yeah, the reason she had this downfall may not be what you expect, though. She was cursed, students. She was cursed. Also, let me know if you were a Wendy stan or if you hated her. Because sometimes I would hate her and not watch her for a while. because of something horrible she would say about a celebrity that I love. Like, she would say that Ariana Grande has the body of a girl and not a woman, and how she's a rude diva, and make up all these lies about Ariana Grande. And, like, I know I see things like that about Selena Gomez, but mine are true. But Wendy would even say, I understand if people stop watching the show sometimes because of things that she says. So at least she owned up to it. So she was cursed in 2014. And you know why she's cursed? Because she made a bet with her audience, basically, that if something happened that she didn't think would happen, she would eat a crow live on air. A crow, like a bird. Like, she would get a professional chef to get the bird. She would call Katniss Everdeen to shoot an arrow through that bitch's face and prepare it for her. Well done. That's probably how she likes her crow. Well done. But apparently, the phrase eating a crow, or I'll eat crow, is a metaphor for saying that you'll eat your words. If you are wrong or you're proven wrong, you'll eat crow. I've never heard of that in my life. If you say something that was proven to be wrong these days, people will just say you played yourself. You don't have to eat crow. It's you played yourself. So why did she eat this crow? Because Kim and Kanye stayed together more than 72 days. Of course, it's Kim and Kanye's fault. Everything is their fault. Everything goes back to them. But there's a curse about eating crow. Apparently the Bible says, there's a Bible verse that says it's Leviticus. I'm sorry, I am not well versed in that book. No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying I don't know how to pronounce this. All respect due. It's Leviticus. Oh, that's a fierce name. Really sounded it out there. Leviticus 11:13. It says, and these you shall not digest among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are digestible, but don't eat them, basically. The eagle, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, and the crow. So don't eat that. And if you look up why eating crow is a bad thing, it says, in literature, crows and ravens are a bad omen and are associated with witches. Most people believe they steal, eat other birds' eggs to reduce the population of these other birds. So basically, black crows ruin other species of birds' health by eating their eggs to lower their population and, like, sabotage them. So if you eat them, you will be sabotaged and your health would be ruined.
And if I am, let it be known today, Monday, June 24th, if I am wrong and they actually get married, I will eat crow right here on this stage. And can I just make a stipulation on this? I will eat it on the 73rd day of them being married. I will eat the crow.
We're ready to eat your crow, Wendy.
I can taste the iron in it. Well, there you go. I'm a woman of my word.
Apparently, in that clip of Wendy eating that crow, right when she takes a bite of it, her eyes go black. Like, her eyes, like, graze over. There's a lot of viral TikToks about it if you just look up Wendy eating the crow. I thought it was fucking hilarious when she ate that crow, and she actually owned up to talking shit and saying something wrong, because everyone always wants her to own up to something. So, like, she ate a crow in front of her whole crowd. That's hilarious. She's a stand-up gal. She's a woman of her word for doing that. Maybe if Selena Gomez ever admits that she's a bully, I will eat a crow. Maybe. Or maybe I won't, because there's a lot of conspiracy theories that Wendy's life started to go downhill after this. So before 2014, when she ate this crow, when Kim and Kanye got married, and, you know, they stayed together for 6 years until she moved on to the sisterhood of the traveling rebound Pete Davidson. Her life was going really good before 2014. She was, like, gaining popularity. Her show hit 10 seasons, and then after that just went completely downhill. Here's how her life went downhill after 2014 and she ate this crow. Because her whole downfall started after this crow. It was the crow. In 2015, she hosted a show called Death by Gossip. Isn't that crazy? Death by Gossip. I don't even know if that's a thing. I didn't think a little gossip ever killed anyone. But I guess if you tell that to the witches in Salem, a little gossip did kill them. But anyway, that's really eerie because people say she's getting karma for talking shit. So her hosting that show, Death by Gossip, in 2015 could have been a bad omen. In 2016, her husband cheated on her. He left her and her show because he used to work on the show. 2017, she fainted while being the Statue of Liberty. 2018, that's also when America started to really go downhill. Let's just have that be known. So I think if Wendy goes downhill, we all go downhill. 2018, she went on a 3-week hiatus from her hypothyroidism and Graves' disease. Random celebrities were hosting her show. In 2019, she went to rehab. In 2020, her divorce was final. Her son was arrested. In 2022, her show was canceled after 14 seasons. And now the latest update about Wendy, because I'm sure you're all wondering. We all love gossip here. So I'm sure people here, at least if you hate her or love her, you might be curious about what's going on with her. Her son said that she is near death. I know. Isn't that really sad? And regardless of everything, that's really sad. I don't want that to be true. But her son, Kevin Hunter Jr., went to the press and it says, Kevin Hunter Jr., Wendy Williams' only child, is breaking his silence regarding his mother's mental and physical health. The 22-year-old spoke with The Sun, claiming that Wendy Williams' inner circle is taking advantage of her battle with alcoholism and her wealth, not letting her get help, letting her situation worsen, and she could be close to death if nothing is done to stop this. Very messed up. Allegedly, anytime people see her in public, she is intoxicated. People have seen her walking into bars while she's been in this state, kind of rambling, saying very wild things. There was a video of her a few months ago leaning out of a car, and fans were trying to talk to her, and she seemed totally disoriented. They couldn't even get her to string together a sentence. They even asked her if she was okay, and she was just saying the most random things. Imagine if someone talked about Wendy's death, like she introduces other people's death on her show. Like, if I was, like, talking about her death, I'd be like, remember Wendy Williams, the capital P-shaped woman who would burp and fart on her own show all the time? And we only watched her because of how batshit crazy she was. Maybe the meanest woman you've ever met. Yeah, remember her? Well, she died. That's how she introduces people's deaths on her show. She would, like, say all the worst things about them and be like, well, they died. Oh, she's dead? Well, all right. Like, I don't know. So do you guys think it's karma? You know, we're talking about her and all this thing she would do, but do you think it's karma? I guess that can be another conspiracy theory. Oh, oh, do you hear that siren? Do you hear that siren? This is a new segment on the show called It's Time to Be Real. When we hear that siren here at Pop Culture University, it's time to be real, which means all political correctness is off. All PR training is off. Politeness is off. We're just being fucking real. So it's time to be real. Whenever that alarm goes off, I have to be real. Let's be fucking real. I don't think Wendy deserves death mick karma for having a gossip show. So many people have done so many worse, most terrible, horrible things and have not received this level of karma. I do believe in karma and I do think those people have gotten karma, but I don't think Wendy deserves to slowly disintegrate into a mess and lose everything because of that. I don't think gossip is innately a bad thing. I think everyone who watched her show and loves it is just as guilty as her. I think moms and dads in their white picket fences in their houses say 10 times worse things about celebrities than Wendy Williams does, spread so many more lies than she does. I love how she would call her studio audience her co-host because they would clap for every little thing she said. She was competing with Ellen DeGeneres for the biggest show during daytime because people loved her gossip. We would pray for it. We want her back so bad. We're all just as guilty as her for watching it. It's like being a bully and or watching someone get bullied and not doing anything about it. You're just as bad as the bully. So I don't think she really is getting karma. And for everyone's like, oh, this is what she deserves. Ha ha, she's finally getting what she deserves. Shut up. You probably have said 17 horrible, cancelable, nasty, evil things today about people while you're alone in the car with your squad or your family or your privileged, ignorant cohorts that you surround yourself with and cut the shit when it's just you guys together. Clap if Wendy should suffer. How dare you? So is it the crow that killed her? I don't know. Well, she's not dead, but I don't know. I guess I can't say, but it is a conspiracy theory going on. If any of you guys eat crow and something bad happens to you after that, let me know. I would never say my curse that I put onto people about Wendy. If you don't know, I accidentally killed Betty White and Queen Elizabeth by saying they're in good health and will live a long time. And then they just fucking died like a day later every time I say that. So I will not say that about her. She's in bad health. So if Wendy's getting her karma, wait for your karma, babe, because it's going to be much worse. So what can we learn from this? I think what we can learn from this whole conspiracy theory is be careful with what you say, because you may be eating your words in the future, maybe in a literal way with eating a crow, or in a spiritual way, in a karmic way, in a real ass way where someone will come back with to you with what you said and hold it against you, start a fight about it. You can ruin someone's life. You can really affect them. So I would just say, be intentional with what you say. Only say what you mean. Think about what you say for just a few seconds. You don't have to really like ponder on it or really be thinking for so long in between every sentence, but be intentional with what you say, because you can always eat your words in a more real way than you think. So in the spirit of being kind, I'm going to say three nice things about Selena Gomez. Yeah. Yeah. This is going to be a recurring segment here. Professor Petty says three nice things about the motherfucker of the week. Maybe I won't say it. I'll say the MF-er of the week. So the MF-er of the week is Selena Gomez. And I do really love her music. I really do. I think she has one of the best studio voices. I think the songs she releases are consistently bops. Major shout out to Selena Gomez. So I guess that's one. Two, I'll say she's really loyal. She's been obsessed with Justin for so long, and him having a wife is not stopping her. Three, I will say she's good at manipulating. That's a really impressive thing. Impressive skill. Remember when she said, I don't want to see your bodies on Instagram? And then she posted a big old photo of her boobs today. Or like a month ago when she says, I'm not interested in selling anything. How many product lines does she have? So that's a very important skill. So she has good music. She's loyal. And she is good at manipulating. I wish I was better at manipulating. Oh my God. So good for you, Selena Gomez. You go, Selena Gomez. Okay, so last thing we need to talk about. Last episode, we were conspirizing on if Taylor Swift is really with Travis Kelce. And she is. Taylor Swift is officially talking to, maybe not dating, but sampling, as my mom would say. She's sampling Travis Kelce right now. I've been doing my fair share of sampling as if it's a Sunday morning at Costco. I'm kidding. Or not. Anyway, Taylor Swift and two-time Super Bowl champion Travis Kelce are talking. And I have something to say about Travis Kelce. I feel like I know him a little more than others because I'm such a pop culture fiend. I have seen his dating show. He had a whole dating show where he was kind of like The Bachelor called Catching Kelce. And as you know, if you listen to last episode, so we got to see how he dates. We got to see who he is as a person. We're going to talk more about that in a second. But we need to recount what happened with them this weekend. America is back, everyone. America is back. A blonde Miss America girl in the stands watching her super sexy football player boyfriend getting a touchdown on the field in front of her, and he points up to her and she blushes. What's more America than that? What's better than that? Just guys being dudes. And that's exactly what happened, because Taylor went to cheer him on at his football game. And we knew this would mean they were talking in a romantic way, because a few weeks ago, Travis Kelce said, "I threw the ball in her court. I told her I've seen you rock the stage at Arrowhead Stadium, and you might have to come see me rock the stage at Arrowhead. We'll see what happens in the future." If you don't know, he tried to give Taylor his number at the Eras Tour on a friendship bracelet. He wasn't able to. Later, they got into contact, and that's what he said to her. And her showing up, oh my God, she's so messy. She is giving us all that we want. She's so good at being famous. She was in the family box, like the sky box, during the game. She was sitting right next to his mom. Can you believe that? She already met the mom. So if she breaks up with him, the whole family is going to be traumatized, because they don't get to be with Taylor Swift anymore, and they all know her. They're going to miss her more than him. But she was sitting in that skybox like an animal at the zoo. And Taylor Swift really is the monster on the hill. She's so famous at this point. She's going to be looked at as if she is in a museum, or if she is just this spectacle. She knew everyone's camera phone was on her the whole entire time. There was a billion different angles of her at this game. Yet she just sat in that skybox with her mom and cheered him on the whole time as if it wasn't happening. And I guess that's the best way to go about that level of fame and pairs of eyes on you. But it was just so crazy how it's almost like she was in a stadium that wasn't about her for once in this past few months, and she got to see all that mania go on for someone that isn't her. And even though she was just off to the side in like a little skybox, all the heads were still kind of turning at her. It was such an interesting spectacle to see, but I think she had a really great time. He scored a touchdown in front of her. They won the game, the Kansas City Chiefs, the team that Travis is on, thank God, or everyone would have said that it's her fault that they didn't win. And then afterwards, they left the game together. There was a video of them walking in the hallway, and then they went to a convertible to drive off together. What kind of Grease All-American shit is this? She's bringing America back, really. The NFL must be so happy. I feel like they were kind of losing their stance for a minute. No one was really caring about the NFL for a second there. Taylor Swift is there. Oh, everyone cares again. I wouldn't feel safe with her riding off in a convertible. Word to JFK. You know, she's got some big enemies. I don't know if she should be driving off without a roof. That's a whole other conspiracy theory. Oh my God. Apparently her and Kelce have hung out before this. Ooh, so they've been talking. She's into him. I approve of him. I do. That might be crazy to say so early, but I'm just going to say it. I approve of Travis Kelce. He has his own job. He's worth 20 to 30 million. So, you know, he can pick up the tab at Chili's if they go together, unlike Matty Healy. And when he was on his dating show, Catching Kelce, he didn't seem too toxic or misogynistic like Matty Healy was. He seemed really charismatic. He had such a fun, vibrant personality, unlike Joe Alwyn. He clearly has some emotional intelligence, because the way he's pursuing her is really smart and fun and creative, giving her friendship bracelets and saying, "Come to my game. You played at the same stadium." Like, he feeds into her ego in the cutest way and still puts her on the pedestal that she deserves, because she is Taylor Swift. You know, he'll let her feel bejeweled. She won't forget that she has a man with him. He'll let her shine and let her have fun. His personality impressed me a lot on his show. He seems like a really cool guy, a nice, inclusive, welcoming man to everyone. He donates a lot to charity.
He drinks Bud Light openly. He's not embarrassed or problematic. That right there could get me off. Just seeing a man drink Bud Light these days. And I also just love how he is like a beefy man. Not trying to like play into gender roles too much, but there's something so exciting about like a big, like beefy man. Usually Taylor Swift goes for like the tortured artist who forgets to eat until 10 p.m. and they can share their skinny jeans together. But he is like a well-fed, maybe a little bit roided out, lean beef, 1585% patty. He's a lot of meat, you know? And overall, if Taylor Swift is just sampling, she just wants to get that good. There's a lot of meat there for her. And you know what's weird? She kind of left the UK. She's not with a London boy this time. Instead of being with a London boy, she's with a well-hung boy. Which brings me to a musical number. I'm just going to burst into musical number as if we're on High School Musical. You know what did make her lose interest in the UK? What could it be? You know, she used to be with guys like Harry Styles, a London boy like Joe Alwyn or Matty Healy. I wonder what made her lose interest in the London boys. This is called Well Hung Boy. I still love Harry, Matty Healy, and Joe Alwyn. And yeah, I still love London. All the boys are endowed, yeah. But something happened. I heard he's packing. I saw the dick print first and then I heard it clapping. You've heard of guys with big feet. Well, God, he has some big cleats. You know I love a well-hung boy. I enjoy walking sideways morning after sex with you. I love how he's actually circumcised. I'm dickmatized when I'm with him. Darling, I'm in lust with you. Take me back to your place. Kill my pussy cold case. So I guess everything they say is true. You know I love a well-hung boy. Boy, I fancy you. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know what it could be. I don't know why she likes Travis Kelce. Maybe it could be the dick print he's got going on down there. But anyway, I hope she's sampling real well and just having the best time. She deserves to live her single, young, free life. And yeah, she's 33, but she's still fucking single and she should date like anybody else wants to. This is the time when her tits should be out and she should be thotting bopping as she pleases. All right, well, thank you guys for joining me today at Pop Culture University. Some fun new segments today that you heard. Maybe I'll put out an album of spoofs that I make because that was so funny. I don't know why I got to thinking that. Like crazy Weird Al style spoofs just always come to my head while I'm listening to songs. And I was genuinely thinking why she wasn't with a London boy anymore. And I was like, maybe she wants a well-hung boy. And then I thought of how American guys are circumcised. And then that rhymed with dickmatized. And I was like, I need to write a song. I'm literally Taylor Swift. But anyway, last week, the question for the class was, it was really deep. Oh my God. Some people were like, I don't think I want to answer that. If I ask a deep one again in the future and you don't want your name said, just put Anon at the end of your answer or like AN or something. And I won't say your name. But last week's question was, how is your current relationship with your own beauty right now? And I got some really good answers from you guys. So I want to read them. I have like 8 really good ones right here. So Emmy Schubert said, so much better than what it used to be. I used to style myself based on what I wanted people to think about me. It wasn't until I started dressing for myself when I actually started to feel beautiful. Ugh, that could make me tear up. That was a beautiful response. And yeah, when you start to dress how you like, you just feel excited. Like you just want to like show everyone your appearance. And that's why style is so important. I love that. Alexandria Mena said, mostly healthy, but honestly, just depends on the day. TikTok makes you feel like you constantly have to love yourself. Some days are just hard. Totally get that, Alexandria. You're not alone. I have that same exact thought process. Because TikTok, you'll get all these more vulnerable videos of people being like, just love yourself. You're perfect the way you are. This is what I do to help myself feel good when I look in the mirror. You know, don't let your negative thoughts creep in. But then on Instagram, everyone looks like a supermodel. I look at guys with 8-pack abs. There's these girls with impossibly skinny waists. And it's such a juxtaposition from one app to another. It's like, where are we lying and where does the truth lie? Are we lying on this app? Are we lying on that app? What do I really have to think here? Alyssa said, beauty was not existent for myself. And a part of me still thinks that. But I've progressed and start to see good things every day. You'll definitely have bad days, but it gets easier. Yeah, I definitely feel that. Sometimes when I go in the mirror, or when my self-esteem was really low, I would go in the bathroom and, use the bathroom and not even look up at the mirror when I wash my hands just because I couldn't do it at that moment. But now it's like, I feel like I'm more at a place of self-acceptance and I can always find something good to think about myself and never be too hard on myself. So it definitely does get better as you get older. Your relationship with it will get more stabilized, I would say. I'm not sure how to say this name. Just Salisbury 17. I'm sorry, girl. You know who you are, though. I love you, Patty. It says, thank you. I love you, too. Love you so much. I think I'm doing pretty good. I just need to keep reminding myself I'm human, so I don't need to be perfect all the time. It helps when I see body positive content. For sure. Body positive people, I feel like, are the most real people on the fucking earth. And I hate when people try to, tear down the body positivity movement. Because those people are fighting with, you know, their EDs and their judgments of themselves every single day. But body positive people who don't give a shit and just go out there and know they're beautiful, no matter what, make me feel like, oh, wait, I don't have to look perfect to wear what I want to. Wow. What an easy concept, but that's so hard to accept. Body positive people are like our Navy SEALs. Chicky Bree says, so far, I feel really beautiful. I stopped caring about what others think of my looks and just wore things that make me feel like me. I love that. That's beautiful. And how you feel will directly make you feel like you look better. Like, that's what I'm trying to say. When you wear clothes that make you feel good, then you think you look good and you do good. And it's amazing. Martina? Is that how you pronounce it? Martina Kompala. Oh, girl, there's like a weird accent in there. Is that a T or an L? I have no idea. Love your name, though. During the pandemic, I gained a lot of weight. At the end of the podcast, I cannot talk anymore. Talk for so long. During that pandemic, I gained a lot of weight. But now I don't care. I'm just slaying. P.S. Patty, I had the worst day ever today, but your episode helped get me through it. I wish we were besties in real life. Martina, teach me how to pronounce her name and then we can be besties in real life. Send me a phonetic spelling of it on Instagram because I'll be checking my DMs. You know what's so weird, Martina? During the pandemic, I actually lost a lot of weight. I was more in my thick but beautiful era before the pandemic. And then I lost probably 30 pounds over 2020 and 2021. So it was definitely spread out. For me, it's easier to lose weight if I have a really peaceful environment. So even though the pandemic was going on and we were locked inside, it was really peaceful just being locked inside and I could focus on that. So that made it easier for me. I felt really in control of just what I got to do every day because I didn't have to go to work or school or do things that I hated all day. So I was like, oh, cool. I just get to focus on myself inside. And it helped me lose weight. Also, my sister worked at a gym. So we had access to a gym when no one else did. We were there alone in a big, big, big gym. So that was very nice as well. But I would say to you, your mindset is completely right. And gaining weight shouldn't come with a negative or positive charge. It should just be, you know, I just gained some weight and that's fine. And that's great and amazing. And if you feel good, you like how you look, you're slaying no matter what. If you know, if you feel like you liked your aesthetic or you felt more like you when you were a few pounds less, sure, lose weight. I'm just happy you're slaying and you feel good because that's what you deserve. Martina. Mia, honestly, it's 50-50 because I could look so fine in the mirror, but in a candid photo, I could look bad and it could send me into a spiral. Anyways, love you, Patty from Ireland. Oh my God, Mia, my homeland. Maybe I'll come see you in Ireland. I've I've never been. It's my birthplace, obviously, because my name is Patty. But Mia, I love you. I feel the exact same way. I feel like that's a universal experience in the mirror. You like think you have a God complex. You're like, I am God. I'm so hot. And you're only choosing to look at yourself from good angles in the mirror. Like, duh, you're not going to let your eyes focus on a bad angle in the mirror if you're in control. But then someone takes a photo from an unrelenting angle where you have no control. And you're like, oh my God, is that really how I look? I'll let you know. This is so weird. You know what I started doing? I started to take more videos of myself on purpose. Like, I would just set my camera down while I'm just doing a task and just take a video of myself. And that's more accurate because you'll see yourself moving at all angles and you'll get a better idea for how you actually look. And I guarantee you it's more like how you look in the mirror than how you look in at that one bad angle that you got. So don't worry about that. You're way more attractive than you think. I promise you that. But yeah, I really like that question. I like getting deep with y'all. There was definitely some people who were saying like their current relationship with their beauty is not the best. I've been there. We all have been there. My advice to that would just be, I totally understand how our brains could attack ourselves, but I promise you, no matter how you look in this very moment without changing a single thing or even fixing your hair from laying down or something, you're beautiful. Just the way you are right now. Nothing needs to be changed, but your beauty is also, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder. It's in your own hands. If you wanted to adjust something or accentuate something because it would make you feel good and that's your taste, I would say do that as well. But definitely don't make it the priority of life. Just make it just a small part of your day and a small part of your mood. But never make it your whole mood or what your happiness depends on, because it's so exhausting. Because no matter what, your appearance will change all the time. Without your consent, just all the time. So I feel like as you get older, you realize that I'll go through swings up and down, or my hair will look, be going through a phase. My face will be going through a phase, my body. And it just really makes you numb to caring how you look sometimes. So once you get to that place where you're like, it's not even that much in my control right now, you realize what you can't control, you shouldn't stress over. Just do what you do every day to make yourself feel good, like your makeup, your hair, this and that, and let the rest just be in God's hands and learn to look in the mirror and say, I love you, you're beautiful, I accept you, and just literally just compliment yourself. And it'll get so much easier to just accept yourself all the time through all your phases in the mirror. And yeah, I guess I'll wrap it up there, but I'll leave a cute question for this time, so make sure to reply to it. I feel like this episode was so hilarious. So thank you for tuning in, students. There's been so much shit happening in pop culture. So I'm so excited for next week. More divorces happen, more families being torn apart, more homes being wrecked, conspiracy theories forming. So we'll all be back for it next week. I'll say three nice things about a celebrity I don't like again. Maybe I'll write another song. But yeah, your homework for the week is to be a bad bitch. That's the homework here at Pop Culture University. Don't take shit from no one. Cut them loose after their first strike. That's your homework. Take no shit from anyone. All right. I love y'all till next time. You know, rate the podcast. I love reading the reviews on Apple Podcasts. Follow on Spotify. Oh my God, please follow on Spotify if you're not, if you've made it this far. We're so close to 30,000 followers on Spotify, which is so crazy. So yeah, follow would mean the most. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave a review. Screenshot yourself, links to it, post it to your Instagram story. Tag me. I will be looking. I will. So do it. And yeah. All right. Bye, class. Love you all.